Vikings have it again. Cut off though by Tuck. Cuts into the zone. 2-on-1. Tuck right circle. He shoots and scores! Schmidt to the left for Carlson. Now Smith, he scores! Rips it over the glove of Jeff Glass. Vikings takes the lead 3-2. Right side in the middle and a shot. Fought off and throws. They score! Carpenter! Knights coming towards center. Here comes Carlson ahead with Schmidt 2-on-1. Carlson on the right. He waits. He shoots. He scores! Hat-trick Carlson!
We are Vegas strong.
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show live from Hyde Nightclub at T-Mobile Arena. And, it's a little quiet up here right now. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ari Platinum sitting in here with us. Chris Chapman back in the studio making sure everything goes over the air. And our favorite reporter in the valley doing the newspaper stuff and lots of other things as well. Twitter, the Rink Rats, very busy man. Mr. Jesse Granger joining us as well. Guys, how you doing? It's playoff time.
It is playoff time. I'm a little shaken, Frank, because I just had a hashtag Me Too moment with the bomb-sniffing dog, and I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well, you should be happy. He thinks you're the bomb, so, you know, it's all good, right?
That was I turned around, and there's a dog in my lap.
I saw him coming walking up behind, and I heard the sound going here that the open was going, and I didn't know how to warn you.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, you turned around, and
that was a nice surprise. Good way to start the playoffs.
But, you know, we're up here in Hyde and looking forward to that. The ice down below us, the Stanley Cup logos on it. Place is going to be absolutely rocking tonight. There's going to be a concert outside, all sorts of events going on. But the bottom line here, it is Stanley Cup playoff time, the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, we were talking about a little bit yesterday, and Jesse, I don't know if you heard or not, but the Boston Bruins won 50 games this year. They have now won 50 games 10 times in their career, in their history. That's the most of any team in the NHL. The Montreal Canadiens, with 7 50-win seasons, are second. Vegas Golden Knights, 50 wins only once, but they've only had one season. So pretty exclusive club there in there. The records just keep on coming and coming and coming.
Absolutely. It's kind of like the Los Angeles Kings have been a franchise for 51 years, and they have won a division title once in 51 years, and the Golden Knights have already matched that in one season. I mean, obviously, they continue to rewrite the record books for expansion teams, but not just for that. This is a great season for any team, not just an expansion team.
Right, and that's why I mentioned the 50 wins. But Clayton, it's far from over.
It is far from over. The journey is just beginning, and you know, when you think about it, it's going to take 16 wins out of a possible 28 games to get to the mountaintop, and we're going to see teams peel off as we go. And it's funny sitting here atop the ice at Hyde. What a beautiful vantage point this is. That banners have already come down. You know, at the west end of the arena where they have all of the banners of all of the teams, and they're starting to come down as they get eliminated.
Yep, that was the first thing I noticed when I walked in. Is oh wow, there are only 16 banners and not the normal 31, and I'm sure the entertainment crew here at T-Mobile are hoping that soon they will have two banners hung there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also noticed, too, when we were getting set up here in Hyde, that people were asking us, well, where's this, where's that? Because they're moving some booths around to different things because all of a sudden there's a lot more national media in town, and we've seen it over at City National the last couple of days as well, and it's been kind of an exciting time. But I think Gerard Gallant and everybody else is excited about it, too. But it's definitely a little bit more of a media crunch at City National, and I imagine the deeper they go in the playoffs, the more that's going to get as well.
I mean, this is the story of the season and the story of all sports. I mean, if you're a national publication that doesn't have a local team that you're following and you have basically your choice of which playoff series are we going to cover, I can't imagine you wanting to cover anything but this and be in this environment and just kind of chronicle the rest of the story for this team.
It's going to be fun to see what goes on out on the plaza. They got the other concert by Logic. I can't imagine the roar that's going to ensue once the drum line goes through the plaza tonight. Lots of activities going on down there, so a sort of real heightened sense. And we got here super early, and the energy already feels different, even though the building is basically empty.
Yeah, and you mentioned the plaza out there, too. There's like the Arsenal inside T-Mobile, and then there's the one or the Armory, and then right outside there's another booth set up for that. We've normally seen the little trailer up there. The TV screens are going to be all over the place. There's going to be more stuff going on out there. Even if you can't get a ticket to get in T-Mobile, this is probably the coolest place to be in town right now. Coming out here, if you can't get into the game, you can still experience everything going around the game.
Absolutely. Just walking in here, and I kind of walked over to the corner of Hyde Lounge and looked down, just seeing the towels on the chairs. It looks similar to the home opener. They had towels on that game. But definitely a different feel to the building. This is going to be just so awesome. I can't wait.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Frank Karnes, Clayton Hamilton, Jesse Granger joining us here as well. And, well, let's talk about the series a little bit because it is the Vegas Golden Knights and the LA Kings. And I know, Jesse, we've talked about it on the show over and over and over again, and everybody that I talked to was like, oh, anybody but the Kings. And it's the fear factor with the Kings was so much. I was one of the few voices out there that I said, you know what, bring on the Kings. Steel sharpens steel. You want the rivalry with them. Rivalries happen in the playoffs. I kind of was looking forward to the Kings, and if the Kings should win, then you tip your hat and go through the line and you shake hands afterwards. But what do you make of this matchup, and what do you think about that? I mean, because it seems like everybody is convinced, like, well, we would have beat the Ducks or we would have beat San Jose. Well, I don't. That's not a given either.
Yeah, well, I think Colorado was obviously the easiest option, especially with their goalie, Semyon Varlamov, and their best defenseman, Erik Johnsson, both going out late in the season. That was the matchup everybody wanted. The Kings are a tougher matchup than that, but I honestly think the Golden Knights have the easiest road of any of the top seeds, of any of the division winners, because I just think the Pacific Division is not as strong as some other ones. If you look at what Tampa Bay's got to go through, they got to face the winner of Toronto and Boston, or Nashville is going to have to likely face Winnipeg in the second round.
Yep.
Those are so much tougher. I mean, every series is going to be tough. You're going to have to play your best hockey, but you're going to have to do that anyways. I don't think this is a particularly tough draw for them. I think they are the better team. I think if the Kings win this series, it's an upset. The Golden Knights are better than the Kings, and I also think they're better than the Sharks and Ducks. Now, the better team doesn't always win, but I what more can you ask for than you're the better team in that series? Just do your job and you win the series.
I think sometimes people forget how well the Golden Knights played in the first two games and really played for the first 2.5 periods of game number 3. We saw that late comeback in the charge, and then they sort of took over here in game number 4. But they have, for very long stretches, outplayed the LA Kings. One of the things that's different, though, the return of Jeff Carter, they'll see him in these games where they didn't see him early in the season. But if you want to get your feet wet right from the beginning, jump into understanding what the Stanley Cup playoffs are as a whole, there's probably no better matchup for the Vegas Golden Knights than the LA Kings.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because today over at City National, Shang Peng brought up the point to Gerard Gallant that the Vegas Golden Knights actually have more players with playoff experience than the LA Kings do. Now, maybe they haven't all gone as deep in the playoffs as some of the King players, but people always say playoff experience. This might be an expansion team, but it's not like it's a rookie team or a team where people don't have experience. There's a lot of guys with a lot of ice time here, and even the ones that don't. And Gerard Gallant pointed out some, specifically Alex Tuch, and said, Alex Tuch has played all year long. He's going to be fine. He's going to play like Alex Tuch has. So sometimes I think people overblow that playoff experience thing, but again, technically, Vegas has one more player with it than LA does.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to come down to which team can make this game their style. The Kings obviously want to make this a slow, heavy, bruising game. The Golden Knights want to play fast. I had a story basically breaking down what was the difference between the first two games when the Golden Knights won and the second two games when they lost. And the biggest difference was, in the first two games, there was an average between the two teams combined of 53 hits per game. In the second two games, that number went all the way up to 69 hits per game. So much more physical. And the thing is, it wasn't like it was the Kings bruising the Knights up. The Knights actually had more hits in those two two games that they lost. They were actually getting the better of the hits, but the problem is, that's not their game. They don't want to come out here and try to beat the Kings up, because the Kings are better than you at that. Do what you're better than the Kings at, and that's playing hockey, playing fast in transition, using your skill, and trying to get around these guys, not go through them.
And again, a lot of those hits in the game in the last games were Ryan Reeves, so they put on more hits and the bigger hits. There were also some penalties called against the Vegas Golden Knights that, if you listen to Ryan Reeves and also Gerard Gallant, and I tend to be of the same opinion, stuff that was called as penalties in those games that I don't think would be penalties in these games in the first round of the playoffs.
I also don't think Ryan Reeves will be playing tonight. I mean, Gerard Gallant, obviously, playing it close to the chest. I don't blame him. But he said it's none of our business to know who's playing. You'll find out when they get out there for warm-ups. But then he gave us a little clue. He said, if you pay attention to practice, you can probably figure it out. And all year long, the guys that have stayed on the ice after everyone in the locker room and took shots on the goalie that isn't starting that night, all year long, those guys haven't played. Those guys today were David Perron, who we know is not playing, Ryan Reaves, Oscar Lindbergh, and Brad Hunt. So read the tea leaves, and it tells you Ryan Reaves will be sitting tonight.
When the big name that you say there is David Perron, we had seen him in sort of the green jersey for the past couple of days and wondered if he was playing possum, if that was really what was going to happen. Was he going to be in the lineup? We know now for sure that he is out. And so I guess the question really is how big of a loss is that for the Golden Knights and their ability to play fast?
Well, and you know, it's interesting, too, because Gallant addressed that today. And he said, well, we've played the last four or five games without him, so it's not like... But again, they haven't played the greatest four or five games, and some of them, once they clinch, by the team's own admission, they basically, you say you're focused and you say the right things before games, they weren't into those last couple games. The Calgary game, a complete anomaly. Edmonton, I mean, it just wasn't the same once they had clinched the division and getting ready for things. I think it will be an adjustment. How big of a one, I don't know, because Tatar, I'm curious to see how he performs in the playoffs. Is he still holding that stick tight? Is he finally comfortable with the guys out there, the other people as well? I think Perron is a big piece of this team. And if they're going to win this first round, it would certainly help a lot to have him back. But with the depth that we've seen from this team all season long, I can't say that it's – if they don't win, I can't say it's because David Perron wasn't in the lineup.
I think it's a huge loss. And I think David Perron – people always talk about, oh, it's different in the playoffs. The hockey changes. And I don't quite buy into that all. But what does happen is you have less space out there. And David Perron is probably the best player on the Golden Knights at controlling the puck in space. He's real strong on the puck. He uses his body to shield the defenseman away from it. That skill in particular is important in the playoffs. And I think missing him, not only does it hurt that second line of Neal and Holla with Perron, but I think it's a chain reaction because now, yep, Alex Tuck moves up. And I think that line loses a little bit going from Perron to Tuck. Not a lot, just a little bit. But what it really hurts is that third line now. Now you don't have Tuck and Tatar on that third line. Now it's Eakin, Tatar, and Lindbergh. And
it, Carpenter.
Carpenter. And that just doesn't have the same pop to it that line does with Tuck on it. I think it hurts them further down because the guys that have to move up.
And when you think about what Alex Tuck has been able to do with his time that he had there on the first line, his time on the second line, I, like you, were waiting for him to get an opportunity to play exclusively with a guy like Tomas Tatar, and then with a guy like Cody Eakin, who's so responsible about getting his other teammates involved. That's an exciting line for me, and we'll see if we get to see that game two, or maybe have to wait till game three.
Yeah, I mean, you hope you get Perron. I was shocked, to be honest, when he said Perron won't play tonight. I have been under the impression this entire time that he was fine and they were keeping him out as a precautionary reason, and if any of those six games that he missed were playoff games, he would have played a week and a half ago. I truly thought he was going to be ready, and the fact that he's not is surprising, and I think it's a pretty big blow to the Golden Knights.
Well, and the other thing about it too is because now we wonder, it's like, okay, what exactly really is the injury? And is he just going to miss game one? Is he going to miss game two? Is he going to – because, again, Gerard Gallant was then asked later on, it's like, well, who's closer to coming back, Perron or Lucas Pisa? And Gallant basically said they're day-to-day. I mean, so they're not tipping their hands and they're not showing their cards at all. But it is interesting because it's not like other sports out there where you say so-and-so has a groin pull or he's got a knee or he's got an ACL or this – we don't even know what it is because hockey has two injuries, upper body and lower body. They're not giving anything away. I mean, Perron looks fine when I see him out there, but obviously there's something else nagging out there because you'd have to figure if they thought that he was, what, 80% that he goes, or is it 90, or what is the number out there, or does he have to be 100%? I know it's the playoffs, but I do agree with you that, and I didn't mean to belittle Perron and what he means to the team. I just think that they do have the depth and other guys can fill in, and you do have to use that next man up mentality. But no, I mean, his experience and his veteran leadership and everything, it is a big loss. And I do like what you said too, because it's not necessarily the second line, but like you said, the domino effect of everything else there. Hopefully we'll see him back here soon, but the way that Gerard Gallant said that today and the way that we do see him out on the ice, I have no idea if it's one game, is it all seven, is it two series, will we see him in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's strange. Yesterday, I basically watched David Perron for the entire practice, just trying to see if there's something up. Is he skating? Is he favoring one leg? Is he maybe not using his shoulders? He literally looks 100% to me. I cannot tell what's wrong with him. I see nothing. So that's what makes it such a mystery. Is like, it's not like we know, oh, he's got a wrist brace. We know how long that takes to heal. We literally have no idea what's wrong with him.
And he took his rightful place with the power play unit yesterday at the end of practice, and it was all systems go with him. And David Perron's a tough guy, so he's not the kind of guy that's going to hold himself out because of his injury or be like, I'm not ready. It's got to be somebody else telling him that he's not ready.
Well, yeah, it definitely has to be somebody else, whether it's a team doctor, a coaching staff, somebody else out there. Because, no, especially at this time of year, like you had mentioned, Jesse, the last few games of the regular season, everything was clinched. They weren't fighting for a playoff spot. I kind of thought the same thing you did, that, okay, they're holding them out, precautionary. There's no problem with that. Guys were getting a healthy scratch game or a day of rest or whatever. All that stuff is fine. But now in the playoffs, there is no way that if David Perron had the opportunity to be in this lineup that he would not be in the lineup if he was given the okay by somebody. I don't know of a hockey player out there that's going to say, yeah, I'll sit out in game one of the playoffs.
Absolutely. And from his player tribune story that he wrote and from talking to David Perron, he's one of my favorite guys on the team to talk to. I talk to him any chance I get. I truly believe there's not a player on this team or a person in this franchise that is more proud of what they've accomplished this season than David Perron is. So if he could be out there, he'd be out there.
And he's certainly one of those guys that has been bandied about for when it is time to put a C on, that David Perron might be the guy. And I don't think anybody going into the season would have thought of him as that type of player, that type of leader, but he's taken the opportunity to become just that.
Yeah, if there was one player that maybe would have thought that, or one other person, maybe it was Marc-Andre Fleury, who had the talk, and like that article that you mentioned,
yeah,
when they talked before coming here and everything. So, but yeah, let's talk about the players that we know will be out there. Okay, the Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault line, they were a great line the entire season. They got one game under their belt again in Calgary. The game didn't mean much, but they did get a little bit of timing and got that fluidity back. Can they be as successful against the LA Kings as they have been against other teams? Because LA is one of the best defensive teams in the league. You know that they're going to have a game plan set up for them. I know Gallant says that he doesn't necessarily like to match lines, but you would think at this time of year that you might be paying a little bit more attention to some of that sort of stuff.
Not only do I think they can be good against the Kings, I think they've been particularly good against the Kings. They've been better against the Kings than they've been against most teams. For whatever reason, that line, because of their speed, because of their just passing ability, their passes are so crisp. The Kings rely on you to make mistakes. They're not a huge pressure team. They kind of sit back, create a shell, force you to make bad passes. And that line is so in sync and so good with the passing that I think they're going to have no problems against this Kings team. And I think William Karlsson's defensive game has been undersold all season. And I think as good as Kopitar can do defensively, I mean, it's hard to – Patrice Bergeron and Kopitar are the top of the mountain when it comes to defensive forwards. I think Karlsson can do an equally good job on Kopitar as he will on Karlsson.
And that's one of the things that's been undersold all year on the Golden Knights, is the ability to play defense on that top line. You see guys like Riley Smith, and you see William Karlsson on the PK, and you know what they can do.
Yeah, and so we're excited about it. Okay, any other series that you're particularly interested here in the first round?
Well, obviously, as a Golden Knights reporter and Golden Knights fans out there, you got to watch that San Jose Anaheim series, and you got to hope, and I think it's probably likely that it's going to go six or seven games and they are going to beat the crap out of each other. That's what those teams like to do. When you get a team that like LA that wants to be physical and a team like the Golden Knights that don't want to, maybe it can go either way. There's no question San Jose and Anaheim are going to go in there and it's going to be a boxing match. That's one to pay attention to. I really like the Tampa Bay New Jersey matchup, just from a hockey perspective. Maybe not, it's not the like sexiest pick of teams, but they both play really fast, up tempo hockey. It's going to be fun. They're going to be 5-4 games, not the 2-1 games that you see in the Pacific Division games. Maybe.
Do you find it interesting that New Jersey is doing the same thing that Washington did up until yesterday, when they said that they're not going to name their starting goaltender? We now know that the Capitals are going to be starting Grubauer, but New Jersey saying they're not tipping their hand. They're not saying who's starting.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't Kincaid. At this point in the season, like I said, when like Gallant doesn't want to tell us anything, I don't blame him anything. It does him no good to tell me. Now, do I want him to tell me the answer? Of course, but it does him no good. So I don't see why they would tell, but I expect it to be Kincaid. That's an interesting matchup because the Capitals seem to not know what they're doing with that goalie situation, and that's probably the worst thing you can have going into the playoffs. Holtby has been the guy. He struggled a little bit, but I figured that they'd put him back in there because he's the guy when the playoffs got here, and obviously that's not how they felt.
All right, real quick prediction on the first round series here. Golden Knights, LA Kings.
I've got Golden Knights in six. I've been on the side of I think this is a good matchup for the Golden Knights. I don't think the Kings are that scary. I think Golden Knights in six, and I lean closer to Golden Knights in five than I do to the Kings winning this thing. I think the Golden Knights are the better team, and as long as they don't get trapped into playing the Kings game, they're going to beat them.
All right, Jesse Granger there. Golden Knights in six, so they win it in Los Angeles, wrapping up the first round of the series. All right, when we come back, we have three gentlemen that you certainly know very well, and we will get to them from AT&T Sportsnet, Connor McGahee, Brad May, Eric LaCroix. They join us next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ari Platinum on site here, Chris Chapman back in the studio. And it is time now for, the A-team is here, Clayton.
Yeah, it is. It is the A-team. I am not going with the Three Stooges. I am going more Three Musketeers.
I was going with three NHL wise men.
Wise men. One of our favorite. I tell you what, You're around the rink and around media folks long enough, you're bound to run into a diva or two, and that is not the case here at this table.
I was wondering where you were going.
Most favorite people.
That's right. We have Connor McGahee, Brad May, Eric LaCroix, guys that used to beat up the divas when they were when they were on the ice in the NHL, and joining us here on the Insider Show. Guys, thanks for making time and joining us here in a very dark Hyde Lounge.
It is dark. I'm struggling to see your gorgeous faces. But
that's why we're on radio. You guys are the TV guys.
Yeah.
I don't know how we made it there, eh, boys? Like, we should. I mean, Brad, handsome as ever. Not, and Eric are both handsome. Not I.
You know, it's amazing just being able to work in this great game after being a player. Obviously, here in Vegas, the inaugural season, I've had a ton of fun, a blast all season long. And the truth is, though, what has happened, 82 games, it's behind us now. Wiped the slate clean. The best time is yet to come, and the playoffs are so fun.
I agree, and like you guys, I've lived here the last 4 years, so I know there's a lot of hockey fans here that have been waiting for this for such a long time, and I don't think anyone expected playoff hockey this early here in Las Vegas, and it's been great. And I know from talking to all the kids and parents around town that they're just ready for this game tonight, and we'll certainly be we're happy to be a part of it.
Now, people say all the time, and I know as a fan and a former season ticket holder back in Chicago, and that I've seen the hockey and it looks like it's more intense and everything, but we hear all the time about how much more ramped up playoff hockey is. We see what we see, but you guys have experienced this stuff. You've been on the ice. You've played in the NHL on that. How much more intense is it really?
Well, just think of how a marathon, think of running for a second, how a marathon starts. Obviously, they're amazing athletes. They're fast. And then think of Usain Bolt, who has one slip and he loses. That's what the playoffs are. It comes down to a mistake. Comes down to a great individual effort. But it's the war of attrition through winning four games of a possible seven. That's one round. You got to do it four times to win the Stanley Cup. It is, I think, the best tournament in sports. It's certainly awfully hard. At the end of it, if Vegas is lucky enough to be, you know, in the final and have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, my take, 7 to 10 players are going to have surgery within a week at the end of the playoffs. That's how hard it is. It happened with my team, with the Anaheim Ducks. If you're not going to lay it out there and risk personal injury and sacrifice everything to try to win a game, block a shot, whatever it takes, you're not going to win at this level and at this time of the year.
And just to allude to what Brad is saying, it is so demanding and so hard, and that margin of error that he's talking about is so small that that's where legends are born. You know, that's where some guys might have an average, you know, regular season, and when the playoffs start, they're able to elevate their game to a certain level where all of a sudden they're just outperforming guys that have better stats than them in the season, and that's how you win. And sometimes it's the unlikely heroes, and that's why this game is so fun, and that's why everybody's a big part of the puzzle, even though some pieces are smaller than others, but they all count internally.
When it comes to this crowd, and this is their first look at it up close, they've been amazing all season, but they're getting ready to ramp it up. Any advice for the crowd, how to pace themselves, and how tired should they be at the end of this game?
I'm going to go back to a great story. Played for John Muckler, who used to be a coach of the Edmonton Oilers with Wayne Gretzky and Messier, and you know, through their dynasty. The Edmonton Oilers lost to the New York Islanders. The fourth year, the Islanders were on a run, right? 4 years in a row, they won the Stanley Cup. After they lost the first time they played against the Islanders, the Edmonton Oilers, they walked past the Islanders' locker room, and there was no celebrating. It was quiet. These guys had ice bags on them, and they were sitting in their locker room, the Islanders were, and literally had given absolutely everything they could have to actually beat the Oilers that year. Meanwhile, the Oilers walked out, chipper, smiling, you know, they had a great experience, and none of them had ice bags on. At that moment, John Muckler and his team, they knew they didn't give it enough. They weren't, you know, sacrificed enough to actually win the Stanley Cup. The next year, they played the Islanders, and they laid it on the line. They beat the Islanders, that dynasty, before they won five in a row. But so for the fans, get here early, stay late, be an animal for the next 2 months, and you know what? That's the only way you can be a champion.
And, you know, what you just said there brings me back to your other analogy when you compared it to the marathon. You see a guy finish a marathon, and then he's still kind of running in place, and he's just doing a little cool down, but he feels good, and he says no to the water and that. He knows that he didn't put 100% out there. It's the guy that falls at the finish line and needs CPR and somebody has to help him out. You know that that person gave everything they had. And there is something to be said. A lot of times people think that they're given everything they have, and then the playoffs come and you find out you do have that next level. How as a player do you know, first off, how do you tap into that next level, and how do you go, especially in a playoff game for some of these guys the first time, that you don't overdo it right out of the gate, because it is a seven-game series and there could be four of them?
It's a great question, and that's why there's only one winner of 16 teams that enter this tournament. For me, just looking at that, you can't pace yourself, but when there's pressure involved, there's only one of two things that happen. You either feel the pressure or you apply the pressure. Vegas wants to be that team that applies pressure, because once you start to feel it, it overwhelms you, and good teams falter at this time of the year. So that's the one thing. I think experience has a factor in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Maybe not in the first couple games, but as it goes on and on, Eric?
And that's where leadership comes into play, too. It's so euphoric to get to that trophy, right? I mean, Brad's done it. I've never done it. But once you get there, you want to do it again. And there's a reason why you did it, is because you had that special type of people in that group, and they were all, you know, all in it together. There's no individuals. This is a team sport. And the guys that do it and that understand that, they get there. And let's face it, Brad, we all know it. Some guys can't elevate their games. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm not going to throw names in here, but we all know that there's some guys they know around the league that, you know, they're good regular season players. Come playoff time, they can't do it. It is a different animal, and that's why it's so special.
The one thing I'd say, you know, you're playing against the Los Angeles Kings. Through the season, you played them four times. You play in these matchups. You're playing against a team in the regular season. At this time of the year, it's so finite that you've actually got job descriptions where you're playing against the guy across from you that you're going to see for the next 2 weeks. Might only be four games, by the way, if you get swept or you sweep them. But now all of a sudden it's mono a mono. Am I tougher? Am I more resilient? Am I more focused? Because you know what? You lose your focus for 1 minute. Give you one quick example. Pavel Datsyuk, conference final, Anaheim playing Detroit. I'm on Anaheim. Pavel Datsyuk grabs the puck behind his net. I'm on the bench. Get it off him. And I'm panicking on the bench. Because Pavel Datsyuk can go down the ice, and if he scores, and he's got that good individually. You're so amped up, so fragile. Oh, my God, they just scored. Oh, my God, I guess I have to move out of my apartment in a week and a half. And then your team comes back and scores. And you're like, oh, my God, I got to extend my lease. And I swear to God, 100%, I know that sounds silly, but there's going to be guys on that bench or both benches that are actually thinking like that when it's good. But then as quickly as it's good, it can evaporate, and that pressure mounts. And now that player's not focused. And I guarantee it's going to happen. Every bench across the league, the teams that manage it best, that have veteran presence or good coaching or great character, whatever it is. And by the way, luck plays a factor in this too. After 82 games, you got to make your luck, but a post here, a post there, a bad call, things can change awfully quick.
And add momentum to it. Momentum is a key factor. Look at last year's playoffs. Nobody knew that Chicago Blackhawks were going to go and get swept by the Nashville Predators. Chicago had been playing so well down the stretch. They lost the momentum. I know it
hurts.
Sorry,
Frank.
Exactly.
It's killing me.
Right? But
I'm having really bad flashbacks.
But who's the better team?
No,
if you look at it, Chicago was the better team. And then you look at it, they couldn't gain that momentum back. And there's some players, and that's where legends are born, right? They can just stop that momentum, gain it back. And like Brad said, get a new lease on their apartment, you know, so they can stay and not get kicked out, right? So it's an emotional ride. Everybody's involved. The families are involved, the wives, the fans. They play a big role into this because the city, as we saw in Nashville last year, who would have said back then Nashville's a hockey town? I mean, oh, my God, was it phenomenal last year? So Vegas would be off the chain. I mean, if it was ever to come down to that, this is a great hockey market, and I'm sure the fans have proved it, and they'll prove it again this postseason.
And for you, Connor, hosting the show, it ramps up for everybody. You've had one of these two guys with you all season long. Now you get both of them for the do you have enough energy to keep up with these two?
You know, I do, and it was something that we pushed for, to have both of them who have done such a fantastic job all season long. We've all been in – as much as you are around television, and this is true for anything, you want to be around great personalities – and both Brad and Eric are fantastic people, and they're fantastic in the game of hockey as well. Their knowledge is very specific and extensive, and to have both of them at the same time is going to be a real treat. We're very lucky to have that. I'm glad that we're doing that. And I've been a part of some of my best memories of all time have been around the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that was as a fan and as an employee as well with the Colorado Avalanche. And for everybody out there, you're not going to have to worry about having enough energy because it's emotional, it is fun, and if you're going to have enough energy, that's not going to be a problem. And that goes for me too. I mean, they're doing rehearsals in here now for a brand new opening sequence at T-Mobile Arena tonight, which has some familiar elements and some new ones. And I'm like Brad said, he's like, I just want to go out there and tear somebody up tonight. And I'm the same way. It's not going to be a problem, and it's going to be an absolute blast tonight and through the rest of the series.
Plus, I'm going to Hawkinson afterwards, boys. I'm fired up.
I just asked, Brad and I just popped in Gallant's office, and we asked if we could just take warm-up tonight, right. Grease up our hair, no bucket, but we got turned down.
I think there's a lot of guys that actually were in the jersey that would like to be in the lineup that are getting turned down tonight, too.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, it's another thing that you guys touched on a little bit here that I found interesting when you said that, you know, some guys can ramp it up and some guys can't. And that makes me think of, okay, the LA Kings have a couple Stanley Cups, but only one Pacific Division title. We see the Washington Capitals winning President's Trophies all the time, but the Pittsburgh Penguins win Stanley Cups there. So is that what you're looking for? Because I know this year everybody's saying, well, the Boston Bruins are playing well, and Tampa Bay is playing well, and Nashville is. And I loved what Forsberg said when they wrapped up the President's Trophy, and he said, we haven't done anything yet, and they know that here, and they had just beat Washington, and he said it in Washington, which I didn't know if that was a shot at D.C. or just saying, like, no, we realize the President's Trophy is not the goal here, but in that scenario, does that mean that the Pittsburgh Penguins are still the team to beat because until you take the crown from the king, he's still the king?
Clearly, absolutely, that's the case. It's actually amazing that they were able to have an opportunity to repeat,
right?
Let alone three-peat possibly. But it's having those players. Listen, you have to have a core as strong as Malkin. Obviously, Letang was not in the mix there last year, but Malkin, Crosby, Phil Kessel comes over. Could have won two Conn Smythe, Phil Kessel, in the playoffs the way he played. Not to mention emerging players like Connor Sheary.
Yeah.
And
supporting roles
Jake
like Nick
Gensel,
Bonino. Yeah.
Nick Bonino. It takes the whole team to win, which is the greatest part about it. So what players can, what players can't. Listen, history is a big indicator of, you know, who what the character is. But every year is different. Players are injured. Players are entering the playoffs injured. You never know. They're fragile mentally. it's going to be a great test for the Vegas Golden Knights. The fans are going to be able to ramp it up. It's been home ice advantage all year long. But when it gets down to it, it's mono a mono on the ice. And you know what? You just got to trust your preparation. Preparation leads to success. And the preparation all year long, next game up, next player up, you know, I think it's been a great year. Hey, Eric, for the Golden Knights.
And I think the difference here is expectations are a big part of playoffs hockey, too. As we know, the Washington Capitals, just to use that example, every year they're playing well, and then they go down the playoffs and they don't do it. For me, if I go back, and again, I'm biased, I go back to, 2001, Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
Great team, win the President's Trophy, are supposed to win. It's the Ray Bourque send-off. To me, that's so gratifying, you know, to win that cup because you're supposed to do it, and those are harder to win.
That situation never happens.
No,
ever.
It doesn't. And it's easier to be a Cinderella story where nobody expects you to do well and there's less pressure on you. And then, like Brad keeps saying, you know, it elevates your game, and then you're going. I like to say I love blackjack, you know, and at times you just can't lose a hand, right? You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're going up against, and you just got that momentum. And it's the same thing in hockey. At times you just don't feel good. Even though you had a good regular season, you're losing that momentum, and you can't regain it, and you can't win that hand. You can't win that next hand. And it just becomes very, very tough on the mental and the psyche.
I just have one more thing to say there. To that point, Eric, is, again, I go back to what my old coach, John Muckler, he said, and he won many Stanley Cups with the Edmonton Oilers. He said, it's not the best team that wins the Stanley Cup. It's the team playing best at that time. And by the way, that's so profound. And the 82 games prior mean nothing now because now you're seeded. Now you have to beat that team. And L.A., their first Stanley Cup, they rolled in at eighth place.
Yep.
And they ran the table. They won 16 games. Loney lost four. One of the most dominating performances to win a Stanley Cup. You know what? They finished 15th or 16th in that seeding. To actually make the
like
tournament.
Like Nashville last year.
Like Nashville. Yeah. It's actually amazing.
All the way to the cup final.
Yeah, we talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins and their chance at a three-peat. Marc-Andre Fleury also has a chance at a three-peat. And if Vegas is going to go far in this tournament, can you just speak to what Marc-Andre Fleury is going to mean to the effort?
I go back in the history of the game. I mean, a good goaltending is so important. It's kind of hard to win without goaltending. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I'm not going to go down and use teams from back then, but for the most part, the goalie usually is part
of
the
It's hard
team.
To name a Stanley Cup champion that hasn't had a lights-out goaltending.
And that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you go back to the Blackhawks again because we're using them. Like, you know, Niemi was – people are like, oh, he's not a very good goalie. But at that time, he was pretty dominant that playoff. So, I mean, if your goalie's not going to perform well – and again, it's a special breed of person, a special type of person to take on that pressure. We all know how hard it is. It's the last line of defense. So Marc-Andre's been there, and I think that's a key element. We were just talking about it this year. You got Quick against Marc-Andre, guys that have won, guys that have been there, guys that thrive. They love that moment. It's going to be interesting to see them go one-on-one, like Brad has been saying, mano a mano. That's one storyline we can look at right there.
As a player, I don't have this perspective, but I've obviously played with a lot of goaltenders that have it. Curtis Joseph, a great goaltender and never won, but a great goaltender. I asked him, I said, goaltenders don't play, like pitchers in baseball, they don't play against each other because they're not hitting one another. Yet their performance at their end of the rink, they're watching the goaltender at the other rink or other end, standing on his head, making some, you know, 10 bell saves. All of a sudden, they have minutes in between shots sometimes. They have moments that, oh, my God, it's now on me. The rush is coming. I have to match what I just witnessed. I think mentally it's one of the greatest matchups in the game of hockey. It's not physical against one another, but mentally they have to raise the tide. Jonathan Quick is going to make unbelievable saves. Marc-Andre Fleury is going to have to match that. They both have a history of doing so.
And when you talk about the mental aspect of goaltending, too, I find that interesting because people remember the elite goaltender, but sometimes it's the duo of them that does it. Pittsburgh doesn't win their back-to-back because Murray gets hurt last year. If Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't play well, they wait for him to finally have one game where he's not exceptional to sneak Murray back in the lineup. You mentioned the Blackhawks. Corey Crawford, I think, is one of the most underrated goalies around. But the second Stanley Cup they won, they don't win if Scott Darling doesn't come in and play great beforehand because Crawford wasn't mentally ready. Pecorine, I'm curious to see if this is the year that he puts it all together because he played great last year but then was a different goalie in Pittsburgh and the puck bounces off him. So even the best goalie sometimes can still have that mental lapse and they might need a game or two to get into it. So sometimes a backup is almost as important as the starter.
And I'll use new and old here just to allude to this. Like if you use a new name now, like Bobrovsky, right, in Columbus. You know, if you look at it, the last few regular seasons, he's been phenomenal. He's won the Vezina, can't do it in the playoffs. What did he say last year when they lost? I'm going to go see a mental coach. I'm going to go see if it can help me next year in the playoffs. Time will tell this year if he's able to be that guy to elevate his game. I personally play with a guy named Patrick Waugh. We all know who he is.
Yep.
Was he the best goaltender ever, technically? No. But he was the strongest guy between the ears, right? The mental game of that guy was absolutely phenomenal, and he just wanted to win. And that's what Brad was talking about earlier. Without guys like that, you don't win. It takes special guys that are a little different. You know, Claude Lemieux, one of our good friends, guys like that, that they might not be the best regular season players, but it comes down to a lot of mental and then nothing stronger than a goaltender.
I'm going to throw one more thing in, another layer. It's not all about the players either. It's about management, coaches, making decisions of who to play and who not to play. Go back, L.A. wins the Stanley Cup. They're down 3-0 against the San Jose Sharks. Their goaltender's playing outstanding. It's Niemi playing great. He loses 2 games in a row. They go to Alex Stalock. They lose 2 more. L.A. sweeps them, goes on to win the Stanley Cup. Sometimes you got to stay with the guy who's struggling because he's gotten you there in that first place. I'm telling you what, most teams, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, when we won, we had a couple goaltenders, Bruce Geloff and Jaguar. If you see a number one goaltender get removed in place of the backup, I'm chalking it up that team can't win.
All right.
It's a mental battle, but that decision's not a playing decision. It's made above them.
All right, catch these guys on AT&T Sportsnet. One of my favorite things after we do the broadcast, I go home and watch the replay of the game so I can hear you guys and the great job you do. Of course, Connor McGahee, Brad May, and Eric LaCroix joining us here. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, then T.C. Martin, then JT the Break. Then we'll be back with a special 2-hour pregame. Lots more to get to here at Stanley Cup Playoff Time on Fox Sports Radio. All right, welcome back. Wrapping it up here on a Stanley Cup Wednesday, T-Mobile Arena. Almost forgot what day it was for a second. Getting ready for everything here. And hey, by the way, you know, the home games here at T-Mobile, come on down and enjoy them all. But Clayton and I will be over at Parkway Tavern. That's Flamingo and 215. Free shots when the Vegas Golden Knights score. And it's sponsored by our friends at Finley Chevrolet and Finley North Volkswagen. So looking forward to the road games. And we'll be on the road up at Parkway Tavern right up from the station.
Yeah, so the road game's there. And I want to thank all our friends here at Hyde for having us here for the pregame show. We're going to have a special 2-hour pregame show later live here from Hyde. Hyde's been an excellent host. We love being up here. So thank you to those guys.
Yeah, looking forward to the game here tonight. And, of course, looking forward to the game tonight. Predictions on the series, Clayton.
Predictions on the series. I'm going to go Golden Knights. I'm rolling with Jesse Granger. We're going to take him, but I'm going in 7.
I think 7 as well, and I'm also going to go with the Golden Knights. We can't pick against him. It's been a magical season. The story has to continue. The ride has to continue. And speaking of the ride, coming up next, T.C. Martin. And T.C. Martin's got a full show for you every day. One of the best guys around here. And he always brings us a Coke and popcorn or something like that, too. So he's been good all season long.
That's right. T.C. Martin live from Hyde. The Doctor is next.
All right. We'll talk to you at 5 for a special long pregame show. T.C. Martin's next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Enjoy.